This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله تعالى نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. One of the greatest challenges that every single Muslim faces, every single one of us, irrespective of our age, our gender, our position in society, our level of knowledge, an issue that every single Muslim faces is how to keep on strengthening their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the greatest traps of shaitan, and one of the greatest ways that shaitan enters upon a person is by weakening and diluting that link between us and our Lord and Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if he can sever that link, then he will do so. That is his objective in life. It is our objective in life and our purpose in this dunya to strengthen to the best of our ability that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everything within this religion revolves around that central principle. That is the essence of tawheed. It is what we find in the example of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is what Allah azza wa jal wants from the Quran. It is the role and the purpose of the khatib and the scholar, the imam and the da'i, to connect the people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to help them to find those things that motivate them and strengthen their relationship with Allah azza wa jal. When we look at the life of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will find that even he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given things by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that then would be used by his ummah as well. But he was given means to strengthen and to bring him closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no one who is closer and stronger in their relationship with Allah azza wa jal than our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No one who is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No one who has a higher state of iman or a greater reward in the sight of Allah or a greater status in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal than our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet there are a number of verses in the Quran that show that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would become sad. And it would sorrow and grieve him what the mushrikeen of Quraysh used to say about him. And what would happen to the Muslims would be something, especially in those early years of Mecca, it would be something that would weigh heavily upon his shoulders. The responsibility that he was given of conveying this message and spreading the religion of Islam and teaching the people and bringing them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his tawheed, it was something which used to have a physical effect upon him. It wasn't just that it was something which was mentally draining, something which was difficult to think about or to comprehend, but even physically it would manifest itself upon our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. An example of this is a surah that is mentioned in the Quran and something which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said concerning this surah. And it is somewhat unique, this surah and some of the other surahs that he mentioned within the same context, in the sense that it shows us how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in particular through the Quran. Because the Quran is one of those means and one of those ways through which you can continuously strengthen your relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. It is easier for the vast majority of people, vast majority of Muslims, to have a strong connection with Allah in the month of Ramadan. It is easier. It is easier for them to have a stronger connection with Allah Azza wa Jal when they go for Umrah, or when they're performing Hajj, when they're sitting by the Kaaba. It is easier when they're praying in the mosque of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the challenge that people face, that me and you face, is how to keep that strength of Iman going when we're not in those places, we're not in that situation, we're not in those seasons of worship like the month of Ramadan. How do we keep that connection strong with Allah? One of the greatest means is through the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught this to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by revealing to him certain surahs at certain times. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lost his wife Khadija radiyallahu anha. And then a few months later he would lose his uncle Abu Talib. In the books of Sirah, in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his biography this year, it is known as Aam al-Huzn, the year of grief and the year of sorrow. Two of the closest people to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, they passed away a few months apart. It is after this that Allah Azza wa Jal gave to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam three things that would help console him and would help him to become even stronger in his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is as if Allah Azza wa Jal is saying to him that yes, Khadija radiallahu anha was the one who would inspire you and you would confide in her and she would motivate and encourage you. And yes, it was Abu Talib who in public, outside, in the public eye, he would defend you and he would protect your honor. But it is ultimately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who protects and gives divine care and protection. So even if all of them were to pass away, these people and other than them from amongst the Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. Allah Azza wa Jal gave to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam three things. One is specific to him. We as his ummah do not share in it. But two of those three are things that we too participate in. We have a share of them. The first of them was the Isra and Mi'raj, the night journey. In a single night, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went from Mecca to Jerusalem to the seven heavens and back. That is unique to him. But it was done to show the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the amount of love and care and protection that Allah Azza wa Jal has for his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet within that journey, and then after that journey, there are two other things that every single one of us can take from. In our problems, in our issues, when we're struggling with our iman, when we perhaps look at the world events and find that there's a test that has come to us that we need to face up to as individuals personally. Doesn't necessarily mean that it's something you share with other people, but you yourself know in your heart your level of iman, your connection with Allah Azza wa Jal. You can audit to yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and by extension to this ummah, the salah, the prayer, that five times a day and night you have that connection that is unique between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a connection between you and Allah Azza wa Jal that even though every single Muslim is praying, and you may well be in a masjid and praying with hundreds or maybe even thousands of other people, your prayer is your personal connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why people pray, but they differ in their levels of reward and what they take from that prayer. People pray, but the benefit that they take from that prayer will also vary. And the second thing that the Prophet, or the third thing that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was given, was the revelation of certain surahs after the death of those two people. Certain surahs were revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The contemplation of the Quran, understanding the Quran, reading the Quran, and merging them with these ahadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam pinpoints a surah or a verse or a passage, and he says that this is how it affected me, or these are the benefits that you can extrapolate from it. That is contemplation of the Quran. Understanding the Quran at a deeper level. Because reciting the Quran without understanding and contemplation will only take you so far. In the hadith of Ziyad ibn Labid in Sunan ibn Majah, Ziyad ibn Labid radiallahu anhu said that our Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, spoke about the signs of the hour. And he mentioned a number of them, and then he said, ذَاكَ عِنْدَ أَوَانِ ذَهَابِ الْعِلْمِ. That will happen when knowledge is taken from us. Knowledge will be lifted. So Ziyad, he said, radiallahu anhu, that I said, O Messenger of Allah, كَيْفَ يَذْهَبُ الْعِلْمُ وَنَحْنُ نَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنَ وَنُقْرِئُهُ أَبْنَاءَنَا وَيُقْرِئُ أَبْنَاؤُنَا أَبْنَاءَهُمُ الْقُرْآنَ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. O Messenger of Allah, how can knowledge possibly be lifted? How can knowledge be removed when we read the Qur'an? And we teach our children to read the Qur'an. And our children will then teach their children how to read the Qur'an. And that will continue until يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. And that's the case. We learned the Qur'an from the generation above us, our parents, our teachers, people who are older than us in age. Now we teach it to our children, they will teach it to their children. From generation to generation, the Qur'an passes on. And that is from the miracle of the preservation of the Qur'an. The Prophet ﷺ replied and he said, ثَكِلَتْكَ أُمُّكَ يَا زِيَادِ إِنِّي كُنْتُ لَأَرَىٰ أَنْتَ مِنْ أَفْقَهِ أَهْلِ الْمَدِينَةِ. May your mother be bereaved of you. And this was an Arabic expression, to show someone the gravity and the seriousness of the situation, and how important it is that they grasp what is being said. May your mother be bereaved of you, O Ziyad. I used to think that you were one of the most knowledgeable people in the city of Medina. أَوَلَيْسَ هَذِهِ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَى يَقْرَؤُونَ التَّوْرَاةَ وَالْإِنْجِيلَ لَا يَنْتَفِعُونَ مِنْهَا بِشَيْءٍ. Don't we have amongst us the Jews and the Christians who read their scriptures, the Torah and the Injil, but they take very little benefit from it? So the Prophet ﷺ is saying it is not simply about the act of reading. Reading will only take you so far. And the Quran is blessed even in its recitation. We know that for every word that you read, you have 10 rewards of the Quran. And those people who memorize the Quran according to their levels of memorization, Allah will increase them in rank and station on Yawm al-Qiyamah in Jannah. These are virtues of the Qur'an. But they will only take you so far. The Prophet ﷺ would stress to his companions the importance of understanding and contemplating the Qur'an. And that's why the companions would often take months and sometimes years over a single surah, delving into its meanings, pondering and reflecting over what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. And the Prophet ﷺ would turn their attention towards certain surahs, towards certain passages and verses, so that they would go back and contemplate it even more. One such example that I want to bring to your attention is the surah that was revealed after this year of grief and sorrow. After the Prophet ﷺ went on his Isra and Mi'raj, after Allah had obligated and legislated the salah upon all of the Muslim ummah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him from amongst the surahs that were revealed, a surah by the name of Surah Hud. Now Surah Hud in the Qur'an isn't one of those, maybe you could say, more popular, more famous surahs, in the sense that people don't normally wish to read or listen to the recitation of this surah. It's not like Surah Maryam, or Rahman, or Kahf, or other surahs, Yusuf from the Qur'an, that people are more familiar with. But the Prophet ﷺ made an interesting observation concerning this surah. In the hadith that is collected in the Tirmidhi and Al-Hakim, and other than that, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhuma, who said that the Prophet ﷺ was one day in the company of his companions, and Abu Bakr, radiyallahu anhu, said to him, Shibta ya Rasulallah, O Messenger of Allah, you have gone old, meaning that your hair has white in it. Now the Prophet ﷺ was the most youthful of people, and the most courageous and the strongest of people, even from amongst the companions. He was known for his courage and for his strength and for his youthfulness. And the companions say that at the time that the Prophet ﷺ died, as Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu said in the narration in Sahih al-Bukhari, the Prophet ﷺ didn't have more than 20 white hairs in his head and in his beard. No more than 20. The younger companions would sit and they would count the white hairs of the Prophet ﷺ. Such was their love and their adoration and their admiration for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anas ibn Malik said he didn't have more than 20 white hairs. The vast majority of them were in his hair that were attached to his lower lip. 20 hairs. Yet even that slight change was noticeable to the companions. That slight graying of the hair of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was noticeable to the companions. And that's because the companions used to pay so much attention so much care to every single statement and every single movement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every single action. It's normally unusual. It's unusual for a person that you see every day to notice slight changes about you. Your family members who see you every day, your wife, your husband, your children, because they see you every day, they don't normally notice the slight changes within you. If you're going more bold, you're going more grey, you've put on weight, you've lost weight, it is normally others who, when they see you after a few weeks, will look at you and say, you look different. There's something different about you. But those people who see you every day, for them, it's more or less the same. The subtle changes are difficult to notice. But the companions, despite seeing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on an almost daily basis, they would see even the slightest of change. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he said, "Shayyabatni Hudun wa akhawatuha." It is surahs like Surah Hud that have made me grow old. Now Surah Hud is a surah that was revealed after Isra and Mi'raj. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is contemplating and contemplating and contemplating, revolving around this surah so much that years later when people notice a physical change, this is how the Qur'an affected the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that it would manifest within him a physical change. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that it's not my worries that have made me grow old, it's not age that has made me grow old or white, but rather it is the Qur'an. شَيَّبَتْنِي هُودٌ وَأَخَوَاتُهَا. In another narration he said, شَيَّبَتْنِي هُودٌ وَالْوَاقِعَ وَمُرْسَلَاتْ وَعَمَّ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ وَإِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ. Five surahs have made me grow old from the Qur'an. Surah Hud, and Waqi'ah, and Mursalat, and عَمَّ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ, and إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ. Five surahs have made me grow old. This is how much the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam connected with those surahs from the Qur'an. If you were to look at these surahs and you were to analyze them, and in particular Surah Hud is a surah that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received at this time in his life, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to him within this surah the example of those who came before him, the stories of those who came before him: Nuh, Hud, Salih, Ibrahim, Lut, Shu'aib, Musa alayhim salatu wassalam, prophets who came before him, and the stories and the interactions that they had with their people. Because now that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had lost Abu Talib, the Quraysh increased in their oppression and transgression towards the Muslims, and they even harmed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more personally than they would do during the life of Abu Talib. Now Khadija radiallahu anha has passed away. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam returns home, he only finds his children. Doesn't find his wife, he finds orphan children who have lost their mother. Radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Yet still the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued upon his path, because Allah azza wa jal revealed to him surahs like Surah Hud. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the beginning of this surah, and I just want to draw your attention to two or three critical points within this surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions at the beginning of this surah that every single thing that we need in order to keep that connection strong with Allah, and that we need in order to be successful Muslims, you will find it within the Quran. Alif Lam Ra. Kitabun uhkimat ayatuh thumma fussilat min ladun hakimin khabir. This is a book that its verses are manifest and clear, and then they have been explained from the one who is all aware, all wise. Every single thing that you need as a Muslim to be successful, not only in your religious life, but in your worldly life, you will find within the Qur'an. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by mentioning a couple of those things that are extremely important. أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا اللَّهِ. That you should worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah says, وَأَنِسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ يُمَتِّعْكُمْ مَتَاءً حَسَنًا إِلَى أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى وَيُؤْتِكُ الَّذِي فَضْلٍ فَضْلًا. And that you should seek Allah's forgiveness and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah azza wa jal will give you good, and He will increase you in good, and He will give you enjoyment within this life, and He will give you from His bounty and from His grace. Provision, success, happiness, all of this revolves around your relationship with Allah azza wa jal. And that's why Allah then says, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَعَهَا. that there is not a single creature upon the face of this earth except that it is Allah who provides for that creature. It is Allah Azza wa Jal who provides for His creation. It is in the hands of Allah to give happiness to people, to give them success, to grant them to the way that will be the Siratul Mustaqim, the straight path. And then Allah Azza wa Jal mentions the two types of people when it comes to this message of the Quran, when it comes to the message that was brought by the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those people who will accept and they will persevere and they will work and they will put in effort and determination and they will sacrifice for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then you have those people who will turn away, who will choose a different path, who will rather want to enjoy everything they can in this life and won't give any thought to what will happen after their death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions both of them. But then He goes on to mention those examples in practical terms with the people of Nuh alayhi salam. The people of Nuh alayhi salam refused to believe in Nuh. And one of the reasons that they refused to believe, as Allah mentions in this surah, is because their people, the people who followed Nuh alayhi salam, were the weak and the poor. So they said, أَنُؤْمِنُ لَكَ وَاتَّبَعَكَ الْأَرْضَنُونَ. Should we believe in you when your followers are the weak, when your followers are the poor, when your followers are those who don't have a noble station in society? But Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't care about those things. Allah mentions the story of Hud alayhi salatu wasalam. Hud, his people, were people who were known to have military prowess. They had the ability to construct fortresses everywhere. And Allah Azza wa Jal says in this surah that Hud said to them that if you return to Allah and seek His forgiveness, يَزِدْكُمْ قُوَّةً إِلَىٰ قُوَّتِكُمْ, then Allah will increase you with even more strength in addition to the strength that you already have. But when they turned away from Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah didn't care about the way, about their military power, about their strength, about the fact that they could go and conquer other lands and other peoples. Allah mentions the story of Salih alayhi salam, and his people were given technological advances to the extent that still today in the world you can go and see the dwellings of Salih alayhi salam and his people. Mada'in Salih, where they built houses and palaces into the sides of mountains, carved into them thousands of years ago. Yet when they turned away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they rejected their Prophet Salih alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't care about those technological advancements that they had. You have the story of Shu'aib alayhi salam, whose people were given economical means. They had money and they had wealth and they were extremely prosperous. But they would do so by cheating others and by being unfair in the way that they used to buy and trade and sell. So Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the Quran that Shu'aib alayhi salam said to them, وَيَا قَوْمِ أَوْفُ الْمِكْيَالَ وَالْمِيزَانَ بِالْقِسْطِ. Be just in the way that you weigh, be just in the way that you buy and sell. But they too turned away from their Prophet and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Azza wa Jal didn't care about their wealth. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala care about? And all of these things are being leveled against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the few Muslims that he has with him during that time in Mecca. The Quraysh are more powerful, they're more noble, they have better weaponry, they have more advances in every single form. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the vast majority of them are weak and poor. They're women and children and slaves and so on. Yet Allah Azza wa Jalla is showing through this surah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only cares about those people who believe in Him, who turn to Him, who hold on to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the people who are given success. They are the people who, if they strive and they preserve and they are determined to reach what Allah Azza wa Jal has promised them, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make their path easy for them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took away these lessons and he would think and he would ponder and he would contemplate so much that he made a physical difference in his appearance. Not only in his appearance, but even in his mindset. As Aisha radiallahu anha mentioned to us, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would sometimes see a cloud, and when he would see the cloud, he would become agitated. And he would walk in and he would walk out of his house and he would become upset. So she said, O Messenger of Allah, when the people see clouds, they rejoice because it's bringing rain. Especially in a climate like Arabia where it's desert and hot, when people see rain, they rejoice, they see clouds, they become happy. But you, O Messenger of Allah, you become agitated and upset. He said, O Aisha, verily there were people who came before us who would see clouds like this thinking that it brought rain and mercy from Allah Azza wa Jal. But within it, there contained punishment for them. He's referring to the people of Hud alayhi salam. Those people of Hud were given a drought and famine. That's how they were destroyed. A drought and famine. And Hud alayhi salam promised them that the punishment of Allah would come. They saw drought and famine for a number of days. And they were extremely hard up. But then eventually clouds came. So when they saw those clouds, they rejoiced and they said to Hud, "We knew that you were lying. Clouds have come, rain has come, relief has come. Therefore you are not true, your God is not true." فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهُ عَارِضًا مُسْتَقْبِلَ أَوْدِيَتِهِمْ قَالُوا هَذَا عَارِضٌ مُمْطِرُنَا. They saw those clouds, they said, "These are clouds bringing rain." بَلْ هُوَ مَسْتَعْجَلْتُمْ بِهِ رِيحٌ فِيهَا عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ تُدَمِّرُ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ بِأَمْرِ رَبِّهَا فَأَصْبَحُوا لَا يُرَى إِلَّا مَسَاكِنُهُمْ. Allah says, but rather it is what you hastened, what you wanted, meaning the punishment of Allah, when you would say to Hud, "If you're true, then ask Allah to punish us. If what you're saying is true, show us this punishment of Allah." Rather, it is what you hastened. It is an extremely painful torment and a wind. It will destroy everything, everything, so that the next day you will not see anything standing except their houses. Other than their abodes, everything was destroyed. The Prophet ﷺ, when he would read surahs like Surah Hud, he wouldn't just read them and pass on, but he would understand and contemplate to the extent that if he saw something that is mentioned within that surah, something that happened to a people who came before us by thousands of years, the Prophet ﷺ would fear the same for his ummah. The Prophet ﷺ would contemplate and he would change his physical appearance. This is how a person connects to the Qur'an. This is how we strengthen our relationship with the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the Qur'an, He's given us the salah, He's given us all of these means. But often the way that we treat them is very haphazard. We don't connect, we don't stop to think and to ponder. Even though Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Qur'an, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَى قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Do they not contemplate and ponder the Qur'an, or are their hearts locked and sealed? بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن والسنة ونفعني وإياكم بما فيهما من الآيات والحكمة أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولجميع المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه ما بعد. This khutbah is not meant to discourage people from reciting the Qur'an or reading as much of the Qur'an as they can or to memorize the Qur'an. But rather it is to add another aspect and a different way of also interacting with the Qur'an, one that is equally important and perhaps in some cases even more so. And that is the importance of understanding and contemplating what you understand. Not just simply reading a translation or even a book of tafsir, but to stop and to think about it. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, and in some narrations it is said that it was his father Umar radiallahu an, they spent 10 years over Surah Al-Baqarah. 10 years. Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Layla rahimahullah, one of the famous scholars of the Tabi'een, from the student of many of the great companions. He was once reciting Surah Hud, and a woman passed by and she said, an elderly woman, and she said to him, "O Ibn Abi Layla, do you recite Surah Hud with this speed?" And he was reciting normally. He wasn't reciting very fast. He was reading normally. She said, "Do you recite Surah Hud with such haste? It's taken me 6 months and I'm still on this surah. 6 months and I'm still on this single surah." Because that's how the companions were. That's how the scholars were. Yes, they would have a portion of the Quran that they would read daily in order to finish the recitation of the Qur'an as often as they could, but they would also have portions of the Qur'an where they would stop and ponder and they would contemplate. And some of the companions would simply take a surah and they would spend as long as they needed in order to take everything that they possibly could from that single surah of the Qur'an. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, "Don't read the Qur'an with haste. It is not poetry that you're reading, nor is it a fable or a story that you're simply trying to read to pass time. But rather stop and ponder the amazing signs of Allah contained with every single verse." That is how you ponder the Qur'an. You contemplate the Qur'an. If the Prophet ﷺ tells us that a surah like Surah Hud made him grow old, that it's something that brought fear within him, it would make him fearful at times, then shouldn't we, as people who love Allah, the Quran, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, want to go back to surahs like Surah Hud and see why? What does Allah Azza wa Jalla say? What is the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to take? So the message from this khutbah, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, is to connect with the Quran. It is one of the greatest ways of strengthening your iman and keeping that relationship with Allah strong, but not just simply by reading the Quran, also by contemplating and understanding the Quran. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla that He makes us from amongst the people of the Quran, those people who are His awliya, those people who are His special people that He has chosen from this earth. May Allah Azza wa Jalla give us the ability to understand the Quran, to implement the Quran, to follow the Quran. May Allah Azza wa Jalla make it a means of our intercession on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And through the Quran, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise our ranks in Jannah. And may Allah protect us and our families from every evil. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
استوى اعتدلوا حالوا بين المناكب والأقدام سدوا الخلل straighten your rows make sure that your rows are complete fill in any gaps الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث الله سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك، فإن مع العسر يسرا، إن مع العسر يسرا، فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. الله. سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Just a few announcements. Firstly, please donate generously on your way out. This masjid relies on the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your financial support so that we can keep providing the activities for the community. Tonight after Isha, we have a lecture titled Stories from History by Sheikh Bilal Ismail, who is from South Africa and a graduate of the Islamic University of Medina. Please try your best to attend and encourage others to also attend and benefit. This Saturday's lecture after Isha is entitled Paradise as Though You See It and will be delivered by Abu Abdullah Abbas, inshallah. The regular Urdu lectures will take place on Sunday after Isha. Task Force GLM is continuing the bread project for the benefit of our brothers and sisters in Syria. Your help is required. We would appreciate any volunteers or donations towards this project. Our donation page is www.justgiving.com/bakebread. We will be releasing all the information that was gathered from our visit soon, inshallah. We have received requests for du'as for brothers and sisters who are currently going through difficulties. Please remember them in your du'as that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may alleviate from them any hardships. Once again, please donate generously on your way out. Jazakumullah khair.